Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World According to Velvet. This is Velvet reporting live from planet Earth. The date is, I think, March 26th. I don't know. I don't even know what day it is. 27th. And we're reporting here live from planet Earth. And I have a very fun special guest today. My friend Wyatt has just come back into the valley. And I'm very, very grateful that he's home. Wyatt and I took our Kundalini yoga teacher training together, and it's just really awesome to have him back. Wyatt, what are we going to talk about today?
First of all, thank you for having me, Velvet. I've never been on the radio before. This is the first, but it is good to be here on planet Earth, and it's a nice day where we are right now, and I'm very thankful for the sunshine. I think now is an important time in the world to really come at everything with a neutral mind. I know that once you look at something through a neutral mind, your brain can process it in many ways that makes you, can make you, it can trick you. Your brain can trick you. If you come into life with a neutral mind and if you absorb everything around you through your heart, then your soul can tell you what, your soul tells you what you have to do. I believe in yourself as the highest power in your spirituality, and that your body knows what it needs to do to be healthy and to be spiritual and to be happy. And it takes the neutral mindset to let that flow. You already know all the secrets. It just takes looking at it through a neutral perspective to let all of that flow.
So do you want to tell us what you mean by neutral mind?
Sure. It's just, it's completely unbiased. It's filtered through your heart decision or idea or anything. It's just, you anything in your life, you just take it in through your heart neutrally with not thinking forward or backward about it in any way, just neutral and feel it as it comes. And let your heart tell you. Let your heart guide you. It's your, it's like the cricket in let your conscience be your guide, you know. It's the same thing. It's true. That's the most, you already know what you have to do. You know all the secrets of the universe as long as you're neutral.
So, you know, in Chinese medicine, we have officially moved into the wood element, and it's the liver and gallbladder. And according to that Taoist perspective, the liver and gallbladder rules the eyes. And when we look through our two eyes, we're always assessing good and bad. Mm-hmm. When we drop into the eye of the heart, this mm-hmm. is kind of from, not from the Kundalini perspective, but from the Taoist perspective, but when we're looking through the eye of our heart and our third eye, they're balanced, and they see things with the compassionate heart. And when we look through our heart, we, like in Kundalini Yoga, we talk about, we have a negative mind and a positive mind. And the negative mind is assessing what's dangerous for us, what it will do us harm. The positive mind is assessing all of the good in all the opportunities in a situation or a person. And then the neutral mind quickly calculates that all so that we can move from our heart. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that how you would say that, Wyatt? So I really think right now, it is critical to be in our neutral mind. And because we are in the springtime and the season of the wood element, one of the ways to help us come into our neutral mind is to take care of our liver. And so that means, you know, this is a natural time that we start eating a lighter diet. We eat kind of more bitter foods, so like romaine lettuce, dandelion greens, lighter foods, because we're kind of sloughing off the heavier foods that we've eaten all winter that kept us warm and grounded and centered. Now as we feel the stirring of spring and the kundalini and the chi, and the sun moved into Aries a week ago on the equinox, we have all of this drive and this energy to move forward, okay? And so what the liver gallbladder does is it brings us, as we start this new season of spring, we've come full circle to a year ago. However, we're not the same person we were a year ago, and we have to jump to the next stage of evolution. So it's almost like Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Let go of the past. Don't worry about the future. Just be present and see what kind of growth you need to take. And in Chinese medicine, the emotion associated with the liver gallbladder is anger or frustration, impatience, resentment, rage. Okay, those are all energies that get stirred by spring. But in Chinese medicine, anger in its purest form is the energy that helps the seed push through the soil to the sun. It helps us move closer to our spirit. It helps us move more in alignment with us. And so I think our culture doesn't teach us how to handle anger. You know, anger in Chinese medicine, when it stirs, it's telling us that there's an obstacle in our way. And what they say, if we get too close to something, we can't see it and we bash our head against the wall, try to break through the wall.
Yeah.
Or if we get so far back, we can't see all the clues. But there's that proper perspective where you can see our way around an obstacle. So I really think this spring, anger may be really stirred. And Kathy, we're just doing our radio show. You want to be on it? Okay. Okay, let me just finish off this little piece. So then the other thing about this anger energy, it's going to help us take the steps that we need, that we're being called to take this year. Okay. Uranus is in Aries. I think Mars is in Aries. The sun is in Aries. There's a bunch of planets in Aries. So the other thing about the Aryan energy is that each of us are being called to say, I am. I am who I am. And as an I am, you have an individual purpose and an individual function and an individual destiny. And this energy of spring is asking us to be us, to do.
Winter more than ever, my individuality has been tested more than it ever has in my life.
Well, and I think because part of what's happening, this is just the world according to Velvet, is that you have to be like living by yourself in a cave not to be connected to what's happening in the collective right now. And if your boundaries are wobbly, you don't know what's yours and you don't know. Or your truth. If your truth is compromised, your satnam is compromised, then you don't know what is yours and what is other people's. And if you're not in touch with your satnam or your truth, then you, oh, we got somebody licking rocks over there. Then if you don't know what your truth is, then you will compromise your integrity in order to be accepted, you know, to fit in. And right now, I'm going to switch gears because we have a new guest. Or you want to sit with the rock first? Yeah. So we have Kathy just came in, and she grabbed an opal. And so, Kathy, tell me what you're up to today.
You know, it's been so rainy here and so great and sunny out that, number one, I had to just get out and groove on the sunshine. And the air feels so great today.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to groove on some radio action with my friend Velvet. Now I'm grooving on a few things simultaneously. The sun, you, and this rock friend.
Right. And my friend Wyatt here.
Hi, Wyatt.
So any insights? Did you hear what we were just talking about?
We're talking about anger energy.
Yeah, and the growth energy of the spring and
the
how it's really.
Itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is there anything you want to share or add to what we're talking about?
Well, anger is kind of underrated as a healing force, you know, especially for the divine feminine aspect, that when, you know, if we choose to embrace our anger and purify it and kind of separate, you know, what's the righteous anger and what's the anger that's just kind of made up of the dross of really everything else that's going on in my life right now, if you can kind of purify it and get the righteous anger and use that, you know, get rid of everything that's not righteous and transmute the rest of it into, you know, the same force that pushes the flowers up through the dirt into the light. And so, you know how that's easier to do if the ground is moist and wet? What are we going to use to lubricate the ground, you know, of our life, of our mind, to get that nice and moist so that it doesn't hurt so much?
Right.
And sometimes what we use to moisten that is the tears that fall on our face when we no longer throw out our anger due to shame or whatever.
Right.
You know, let those tears flow. Right. Let those tears sanctify the ground.
Right.
Give voice to your anger, not in a violent way.
Right.
In a nice, calm, centered, balanced, truthful way.
Right.
That reflects divine wisdom. And then how much easier is it going to be?
Well, and as you
things germinate, come up.
And as you were talking, what kind of came to my mind is like the Kali energy. You know, that it's almost like, so when anger comes up, it is like a sharp sword that cuts through the bowl.
Right.
And I think, I don't know much about Brigid,
uh-huh.
But I feel like, does she have access to that righteous anger?
Yes, and a lot of the forces of the divine feminine that I work with, you know, as someone who, due to past life events, works very closely with the fire goddesses.
Okay.
Kali and Brigid and Pele.
Okay.
And Isis.
Okay.
You know, and the like. And that's all about not being afraid of the fire and not being afraid of the darkness.
Okay.
Because when you go down in there and look, stare it in the face, that's where your deepest truth is. That's where your deepest power is. And you no longer live so small. You no longer live in this fear of, who am I really? Is that not good enough? Who's out there to get me? Nobody is out there to get you. We're waiting for you. You know, come on. I am not complete without you. Don't you see how badly I need you, how much I love you, how safe it is out there? Because as bad as it is, you're safer up here. You know,
right.
Part, once you get to your own personal truth and hang with other people who have, but once you stare that darkness into the face, right under the mud, we're just right under the mud.
Yeah.
We're waiting to come up.
Right.
And why be so afraid of going down there in the fire, in the mud, in the yuck down there? Even if it stinks, you're like, really? And believe me, once you get down there, call forth things. You think you're going to be all alone, and I also think we've been fed this false narrative that you have to go down there alone.
No.
You have to do everything alone.
No, we got each other. We got all the helpers.
Yeah, walk this road alone. And, you know, you just don't. You just don't. And that's, I think, a big lie that we're ready to bust now.
Right. And, you know, and as you're talking about this divine feminine, you know, I keep thinking about the emotion of rage. And a couple of years ago, I did some work with the emotion of rage to understand it. And what rage felt like to me, it's tied to the kidneys or the adrenals and the liver. And it's the energy that comes up after something horrific has happened. And it is the energy that we use to rebuild. However, because, again, we're not taught what to do with anger, we're not taught what to do with any of our emotions or any of our feelings, that rage is put onto somebody else, or we stuff it and we stuff it and we poison ourselves. And so what it feels like is that when we have rage, when that God, it's almost like the Morrigan, you know? Have you ever, you know who the Morrigan is? So one of my favorite kind of warrior stories is about this warrior queen named Boadicea. And she was British, and her husband died, and she was an Icenian, which it was before Britain, but she was a tribal leader, and the Romans didn't believe women had any rights. And so when her husband died and willed the estate, their estate, half to her and her daughters and half to the Roman Empire. The Romans came in, strung her up and whipped her, and then raped her daughters in front of her. This rage came into her. It's almost like the energy of the warrior goddess.
And thank God for that rage.
And what she was the only person who was able to call all of the tribes of Britain together to drive out the Romans, and they came this close to driving out the Romans, because the Romans were coming in with those patriarchal ways to oppress the feminine. And I'm wondering, as we are talking, is this rage, this life force, this power is rising against oppression, any way that we've oppressed ourselves or been abused or oppressed by others.
Mm-hmm.
Is that energy, instead of like taking it out on the people we love, is that energy a potential to build a new world?
Not always we can love, but...
Well, right.
You know, sometimes we need to love people from a distance.
Right, not put up with stuff.
And as you were talking, you know, so many of us have been abused in many different ways, starting from our birth by, you know, our families of origin. And, of course, we have every right to feel rage about that.
Right.
That, in my mind, is righteous rage.
Right.
And something that has been coming up a lot lately, and what I worked on during the big transits we had, you know,
right,
a week or so ago, is the child abuse energy.
Right.
Is that... Okay, we're going to take that rage. And what's coming to my mind a lot here lately, since you've been talking about it, is Ametrine, our friend Ametrine.
Right.
And, you know, due to, you know, being abused when you're so young and don't have any
power,
much power, you can't make your own decisions. You can't make choices. Those that are entrusted to make those choices for us oftentimes make very poor choices, choices that separate us very much from our divinity. And when we look at Ametrine, which is a mixture of citrine and amethyst, which is a master healer and connected, well, with all the chakras, really.
Right.
Particularly with the crown chakra for a lot of us, is, you know, you look at citrine, which works on the second and third chakras, that third chakra with your power center.
And your will.
Especially for women. And your will. And if we could take the violet flame and the amethyst and fuse that with our will and use those both to purify each other, because citrine...
Right.
It has very strong purification, you know, qualities as well. Some say it doesn't even have to be cleansed.
Right.
Which I don't totally agree with, but that's neither here nor there. So if we take those two stones together, I think Ametrine is a very powerful ally for us in this time, insofar as taking rage and transmuting it and using it to bring us home to ourselves.
Right.
This rage is but respect for myself that has been misdirected.
Right.
And I'm going to step away from those who have persecuted me and use this anger and transmute it into some useful force so that I can bring myself closer to my divinity, so that I can heal myself, so I can assist others to step into this place of personal empowerment. And, I mean, I just feel like bathing in Ametrine as you, you know, talk
right.
about
right.
these And it doesn't matter if you're male or female or
right.
androgynous. I think that's going to be a really useful stone for addressing these issues.
That makes a lot of sense. And that, because I think what happens is when we have been traumatized, we can't, a lot of times, like, I don't know, PTSD on some level keeps us from transmuting it. So we just sort of loop
yeah,
in it. We loop in it, and we still feel powerless. Right? I think every time we have those same feelings, we feel powerless to change. And so I think that idea of Ametrine is marvelous, because part of what we're coming to is self-empowerment for everybody. Okay. Okay. Hey, we got to talk about that violet fire. So Kathy here makes this violet fire. And I have had really powerful experiences with the violet fire. So how I should let Kathy tell you, but what she told me is that you don't use the violet fire until you're really ready to let go of whatever pattern or experience you've been having. And she said that by spraying the violet fire, you'll let it go. So the violet fire And I literally got diarrhea for 3 days, which is fine because I was letting go. There was something that I had been holding on to for so long that I had to physically purge it. And then one of my clients came in because she would keep looping in the same thing. And I asked her, are you ready to let go of that? And she said, yes. And so then about 3 days into it, I called her. I really felt her. And I said, are you doing okay? I'm just checking. Because I gave her your caveat that, you know, you will let go. And it may look different for all of us. She said, I got mental diarrhea. Like my mind got really, like those old patterns were looping really fast. I got emotional diarrhea. I was like, you know, letting go of a lot of emotions. And she got the physical. I don't think not everybody gets the physical, but I thought it was so powerful, and I didn't realize there was amitriptyline in there. So we got the violet fire down here at Rocks and Things if you want to spray it. Anything else you want to say about the violet fire?
Whenever you're working with the violet flame, that transmutes negative into positive, or when you're working with any of my sprays, it's good to really use them with purposeful intention. And especially with the violet fire, once you're letting go of what you let go of, you know, the universe supports a vacuum. What do you want in its place? And to be as clear and powerful as you possibly can be with that. I want to take this rage and turn it into
creativity,
you know, and be as clear as, you know, dream big. What exactly do you want that to look like? And then I usually say this or something better.
Right, so you're not limited.
So, you know, here we are in our, you know, we're talking about not power down here in the third dimension in terms of our behavior. So then if you look at our fourth dimensional bodies, which is our thoughts, our mental body, our emotion, energy of motion, is the bridge between those two things. So if you've been, you know, abused or had these experiences, and probably for a lot of lifetimes, you know, where your emotions are ruling you instead of being your teacher, because emotions, they're not good or bad, they're just our teacher. Our emotions are here to teach us things. So then, if, you know, when we get to that, people know how burnout shrinks, does that matter here? Yeah, whatever. So then, you know, here we go to our, our fourth, our thoughts. You know, if our emotions bridge what we're doing on the third, dimension, our action or our will, if it bridges, which are our thoughts, then, you know, once we feel better, then we can think better. We think clearer. And once we think better about ourselves and about our reality and about the power we have that was given to us by divine source, that's our birthright, then we'll do better down here in the third dimension.
And so it just keeps self-perpetuating cycles of more truth and more authenticity and more and less emotional chaos.
Right. So when you use that violet fire and the amateur, you know, to get rid of some of the emotional chaos that's not in alignment with your divinity. You know, these feelings I'm having, these thoughts I'm having, I'm not judging them. It's just that they're not in alignment with who I am at a soul level. You know, I want to get rid of the chaos so that I can feel things and think things that are reflective of divine truth, that are reflective of who I am at soul level. And everybody's different at soul level. Don't try and be somebody you're not. You're not going to be calm. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be in your power, and you're not going to be who we need you so desperately to be that.
You hear that, Wyatt? Is there anything you want to add?
Oh, I have a question for you, Kathy. So you said sometimes you need to love from a distance. And then also with breaking the pattern, I recently just left an abusive relationship, and I'm finding it really hard to completely let go of the person that was abusing me. And I mean, the sane part of me wants to just not talk to that person ever again because they hurt me, but I still have so much love for that person that I don't want them to be that way. I feel like the abuse that happened to me, I can get away from that and then stop that that way. But I don't want the abuser to be, to keep, because I just want to help. Do you think there's a way to help the people that are that could be hurting?
In my experience, you know, unfortunately, the only, no, not unfortunately, the person we can control is us. The only person we're responsible for is us. And what, how we're responsible for ourselves is living in alignment to our divinity, living who, you know, doing our divinity, so that it transfers in some noticeable way down here to 3D. Now, this relationship of which you just spoke sounds like it was a healing opportunity for the both of you to realign yourselves to your divinity. Now, you can in no way, because God has given, or divine source, whatever you want to call that, I just blurted out God because that's my deal. Because God has given all of us free will, you are actually stepping away from your divinity and stepping in between this other person and God if you attempt to learn that person's lessons for them or control them in any way. If this person continues to choose to be an abuser, there's really nothing you can do about that. In your relationship with this individual, you gave him or her an opportunity to make better choices, make higher vibrational choices that are in alignment with their divinity. Because if we're in alignment with our divinity, if we truly remember who we are at soul level, we're not going to be abusing other people. We're not going to be stepping, you know, in between them and their power. We are going to be creating a space for them to be everything that they could be. So you, it's really not appropriate for us to take responsibility for anyone else's healing. We can be in relationship with them. We can hold a sacred, loving space for them. You know, and that's what I would recommend for you do is to, if you really want to heal this person, and if you're intent on loving them, what's the highest vibrational way you can continue to love this person and have respect for yourself and your own divinity? In my mind, that is holding open a sacred space for this person to align themselves with their divinity, to make choices that reflect not only who they are, who you are, who we all are, at a soul level. If they don't choose to do that, I really feel the healthiest thing to do is, you know, peace out. You know,
I love you. But
I love you. I will continue to hold this space for you, you know, when you're ready to occupy it. You know, but until then, it's not healthy for me to be in a relationship with you. You're not judging them or their behavior as bad or deficient. You're discerning. Remember, there's a difference between discernment and judgment. You have already discerned, this relationship makes me feel bad. This relationship does not reflect who I am at a soul level, who this other individual is at a soul level. I cannot continue to grow, but, for, you know, you've already grown through this relationship by being like, I can't put up with this. You know, this is crazy. This is not reflective of my divinity. I'm going to give you an opportunity to choose a different way, and then you'll be blessed by continuing to be in a relationship with me and we can grow together. No, you don't choose. You know, I accept your free will. I'm going to really lovingly hold the space for you. Peace out, though. You know, see you at some future, you know, point in time. You choose to meet me in this space where there is no abuse, where there's just love and peace and harmony and respect for each other in the absence of hitting or belittling or whatever form of abuse took this one of my business. You know, I'll be here. You know, maybe you'll be with somebody else and not in a position to have type of relationship with that person. But, you know, you provided a valuable healing opportunity and a valuable learning opportunity for this individual, and you should be held in gratitude for that. So, does that help?
And then we have to let go whether or not they take the hand that was held out to them. And that's where it's hard because we have soul contracts and we love. Yes, exactly. Right.
And divine force. That's why it's beautiful. Because we're all supposed to be there.
Right. Well, I used to go to Al-Anon because I grew up with some crazy coping mechanisms. And one time I went to Al-Anon and they said, when you try to interfere in somebody else's path, it's like stepping in front of a train.
Believe me, I've been living in a train that's not a part of my life. This
yeah.
Is why I continue.
Yeah. And so when you step in front of somebody else's train, who gets hurt? Yeah, because it's not your train to stop. they have their own lessons. And I always, not that I don't sometimes still try to be codependent when I'm out of balance. However, that message, I think, probably saved me because I don't have the energy to stop a train, even with my Kundalini superhero turban on, especially with my Kundalini superhero turban.
If you have that level of energy, for God's sake, use it for something other than stepping in between somebody else and their divinity.
Yeah. It's called misuse of power. Mm-hmm. You are misusing your will instead of using your will for what you're here to be.
So maybe all the love that you were pouring on another person is meant to be poured on yourself right now.
There you go.
or your pet.
Or the world.
Hey, I'll take it. You know?
Well, I think we ran out of time. Another fabulous, freaky, free flow Friday here live from Rocks and Things, reporting straight from planet Earth and the center of the Milky Way galaxy. Over and out. This is Velvet. Peace out, baby.